Well, today I want to talk to you about having a seasoned life. If you get your Bible out and go with me to the book of Mark chapter 9, we're going to find out what this means. Mark chapter 9, and actually if you want to go to chapter 10 and back up a couple verses, we'll be in the end of Mark chapter 9. And in order to get to what we're talking about today, I got to kind of set the scene for you, because if you read these verses by themselves, you might get a little confused about what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and what God is wanting to talk to us about today. Jesus is traveling with his disciples. They're going from place to place, ministering in different areas. As they're traveling, the disciples are having a discussion. Actually, it's kind of a little bit of an argument. Jesus notices and he gets to the destination, gets inside of a house, and at that house he sits down with his disciples and he says, "Hey, what were you guys talking about on the road?" Now, Jesus knew the answer to his own question, but he was calling the disciples out on something at this point, because they were arguing about which one of them was the greatest disciple. And so Jesus brings a little child into the midst of them. You know the story. And he says, if you guys want to be great in the kingdom, you must become servant of all. And you've got to be like one of these little children. What does that mean? It means that you've got to come in a submissive heart and attitude and be the servant and do what God tells you to do quickly and obediently. And so he brings this little child and he says, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And not only does he receive me, but he receives him who sent me. So he starts to explain this to him, and he says, but woe to the man who causes one of these little ones to stumble, and offenses are going to come. And he starts to talk about offenses. And he says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's pretty strict, pretty stern warning. But what does he go on to say? He says, for it's better for you to enter the life with one hand than for you to go to hell. And then he says, if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. Because it's better for you to enter the life lame than it is for you to go to hell. And so we pick it up, Mark chapter 9, talking about a seasoned life. Mark chapter 9, we're going to take a look at verse number 47 through the end of the chapter to verse number 50. Mark chapter 9, verse number 47, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says, and if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Verse 48, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Now, what does that mean? Well, we know in the natural here on earth, if you take fire and you apply it to wood, the wood eventually will burn up. It will turn into ash and it will be gone after a while. However, if a person is cast into the hellfire, the Bible says that their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. What does that mean? That means that even though the fire of hell is applied to their body, the body that they're given when they go into eternity, that body will not be consumed, that it will never burn up. And so it's eternal torment. Now, I know we don't like talking about hell, but listen, it's healthy for us to talk about hell. Why? Because it will keep you from doing things that will send you to hell. I believe that if the church were to talk about hell a little bit more these days, that we would have less and less sin in the church, a little bit more holiness in the church, and there would be a reverence in the church, as well as there'd be people outside of the church that wouldn't be calling hypocrite all the time. Are you listening? And so he goes on in verse number 49, and he says, for everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Now, in your Bible, maybe it's like my Bible, it has these little headlines, these little things, you know, Jesus warns of offenses, and then tasteless salt is worthless, you know. And oftentimes when we read the Bible, we'll read until the end of one of those little sections or one of those little things, and then we'll stop, and we'll read that title, and we'll think that there's a new thought coming. However, when Jesus was speaking this word to his disciples, he didn't stop and say, tasteless salt is worthless, and then start a new thought. No, he was continuing off of his previous thought about offenses, plucking them out, taking them out of your life, and now he talks about hell, and then he goes on to say, for everyone will be seasoned with fire. Same thought. And he says, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Verse number 50, salt is good. But if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. So he wraps up his statements to them about the fact that they were, you know, having this argument and what was going on in their lives, and this seclusive attitude, this elitist attitude that they had towards one another. Who's the greatest? Who's the best? They think that they're all that and a bag of chips. And yet Jesus says, no, listen, guys, this is not where it's at. You guys need to have salt in yourselves and you need to have peace with one another. And he concludes his statements. Now remember, we're talking about a seasoned life, and Jesus was talking about salt and talking about have salt in yourself, and salt is good. So obviously there's something that the Spirit of God is speaking to us today about being something that God has called us to be. And if we're going to live a seasoned life, we've got to be a people that stay salty. And we'll explain what that means as we go, but I've got a couple of things out of these three verses that we're going to find out about how to stay salty. Verse number 47, 49, and 50. We're going to take a look at those and find out what Jesus says to us today about how to stay salty, how we can live this seasoned life. Number one thing, are you guys ready? All right, about three of you are. That's okay. Let's get everyone else ready for a second. Number one thing, are you ready?
Yeah.
There you are. Number one thing is to cut off offenses. Cut off offenses from your life. Let's read verse number 47 again with this in mind, cutting off offenses. If we're going to stay salty, verse number 47 of Mark chapter 9 says this. It says, and if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Now, what is Jesus saying? Obviously, we come into this church today, and I don't see a lot of people that are missing a hand or missing a foot or missing an eye. So either we're not being obedient to the word, or Jesus is talking about something spiritually. What is the application of these verses where he says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off, or if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off, or if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out? Now, it wouldn't be a bad idea to do that physically if that was really keeping you from the things of God. However, what do you do with your hands? It's okay to talk to me. It's all right. This is not just about me talking to you. What do you do with it? You feel, right? You touch, you work, you pick up, you lift, you throw. You do things with your hands. There are activities and actions that you do with your hands, right? Right? Okay, there you are. There you are. Making sure you're still awake. All right, this is second service. You should have got a good night's sleep, okay? What do you do with your feet? You walk. There you go. You have direction. If you want to go this way, you walk that way. Your feet carry you in those directions. What do you do with your eyes? You see. You take in what the light is reflecting off of. You take in information. You see things, and then you create in your thinking perceptions, judgments, opinions, and that is your world, your reality, how you see the world. Now, what is Jesus talking about when he says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your feet cause you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. This is what he's talking about. He says, if the actions of your life, the activities that you're involved in each and every day, if they are causing you to sin before God, then cut off those activities. Cut out those actions from your life. Get rid of them. It's better for you to get rid of them than it is for you to go to hell. If the direction of your life, where your feet carry you, if where you're going in life is an offense to the Spirit of God, then cut it off. Change your direction. Even if it hinders the direction, even if it's harder to go another direction after you've cut that direction off in your life. He says it's better for you to cut off that direction than it is for you to go to hell. And finally, if what you are putting into your eye gate is causing you to sin, if what you're receiving from the world, the perceptions, the opinions, the judgments, all those things that you are bringing in, if that's causing you to sin, then pluck it out. Are you listening? It got mighty quiet in here. But Jesus is telling us, cut off the offenses. It's better for you to cut those things off in your life. Maybe you need to get rid of some ungodly music. Maybe you need to get rid of some DVDs in your house. Maybe you need to stop your internet service. Hello. It'd be better for you to rip the TV off the wall with the cables and everything else and throw it out the window than for you to go to hell over it. The Bible says it's better. Maybe there's some ungodly influences in your life and you need to cut off some relationships that are dragging you down because the direction that these people are going is carrying you to hell. See, it's better for you to cut those things off even though it's harder to walk the road alone. Even though it's harder to walk with a limp because you've been hurt by the direction, by the past. Listen, it's going to take something to follow God, but you're going to have to do it. Cut off the offense. Why? Because it's not worth it to go to hell. He says, where their worm does not die and their fire is not quenched. You see, this is a serious thing. Hell is a very real place. But God says, repent, turn away from, and go to. You remember that from last week? Pastor Jim and Deborah talked about repentance. So important for our lives. Remember, it's to turn away from and go to. What is that saying? That means turn away from the offense, turn away from what was causing you to stumble, turn away from the sin, and turn back to God and go His direction. Have His view on life and do His activities and His actions. Amen. Keep your finger there in Mark chapter 9. We'll come back there in a minute. And turn back with me to the book of Hosea. Hosea is right after the book of Daniel. So if you find Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and then find Daniel. And right after Daniel is the book of Hosea. And find the last chapter in Hosea. So if you hit the book of Joel, just turn back one page and you'll find Hosea chapter number 14. And we're going to take a look at Hosea chapter number 14, verses number 1 and 2. Talking about repentance, talking about cutting off offense. How do we do that? How do we take those things out of our lives? How do we take them away? Yes, there's physical things that we can do. But also, Hosea chapter number 14, verse 1 and 2 tells us what we need to do spiritually. Chapter 14, verse 1 of Hosea says this, O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Now, let's stop right there for a second. Did you know that you are the true Israel when you entered in to the new covenant by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ? When you said yes to Jesus, you became a part of the true Israel by faith. Because Jesus said that the children of Abraham would enter in by faith and would do the works that he did by faith. And so now when you see in the Bible in the Old Testament, O Israel, that's speaking to you and I. Because now we are the true Israel. We've been engrafted in, the Bible tells us. And now we are a part of the nation of Israel by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So, O Israel, return to the Lord your God. What is he saying? He's saying, turn away from where you were going and get back to God. Repent. For you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Verse number 2, look at this. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, look at this. Take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. Now look up on the overheads for a second, because I want you to see this verse again. Hosea 14:2, take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, now this is how you do it, okay? Because you might have wondered, how am I going to pluck out my eye? How am I going to cut off my foot? How am I going to chop off that hand? This is how you do it. Say to him, take away all iniquity. God, here's these actions in my life. Take it away. Cut it off in my life, Lord. God, here's this direction in my life, Lord. Take it away. Cut it out of my life. God, here's these perceptions and here's these things, these thoughts that are bringing me down, God. Pluck them out of my life, Lord. Take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. Hebrews chapter 13 says, the fruit of our lips, thanksgiving unto God. That you can go before the Lord, and after you repent, you can thank him that God is faithful to receive us. And the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us, to remove those things out of our life that are causing offense. So number one, if we're going to stay salty, we've got to cut off offenses. Number two, are you guys listening today? All right, praise God. Number two, number one is cut off offenses. Number two is present yourself to God. Present yourself to God. Verse number 49 of Mark chapter 9. Hopefully you kept your finger in there for all that time. Mark chapter 9, verse 49 says this, says, for everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Now, I want you to notice something. The first part of this verse speaks that everyone will be seasoned with fire. Everyone. That means that there is no discrimination, that there is no favoritism. Everyone will be seasoned with fire. Just as God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, in the same way, everyone will be seasoned with fire. It doesn't matter if you're a non-Christian or a Christian, everyone will be seasoned with fire. There's going to be problems, there's going to be trials, there's going to be pressures, there's going to be tribulation that comes your way. It doesn't matter that you're a Christian, everyone will be seasoned with fire. You see, the Bible tells us that our God is a consuming fire. And that there is a presence of God that's like the crucible to silver. It burns. There's heat. There's pressure. There's things that come against our life. that are good for us because it burns away the bad stuff in our life. It takes away and purifies us. And yet there's also a fire of persecution. There's a fire of tribulation and pressures and trials. The Bible says, don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial which you are now tried with. What does that mean? That means that, hey, wake up. That's part of life. You're going to go through problems. You're going to go through pressures. You're going to have financial difficulties. You're going to have your family rising up against you. You're going to have friends turn their back on you. You're going to have people hating on you. It's just a part of your life. I think it's funny when people say, man, everything fell apart when I became a Christian. Well, listen, it was falling apart before you became a Christian too. I had no problems before I gave my heart to Jesus. Oh, come on, baloney. Yeah, right. You had no problems. You were just so doped up or messed up or screwed up that you didn't even think about the problem. You just were floating along. Became a Christian, got a reality check, and now you realize, wow, I'm in the middle of it. My goodness. There's fire all around. But listen, don't think of it as strange. It's not uncommon. Christians, we're going to go through problems, but the difference is, look at this. Look at the next part of the verse. Let's put it back up on the overhead. Look at it in your Bibles if you got your Bibles with you. For everyone will be seasoned with fire. Everybody gets fire, but look at this. And every sacrifice, somebody say every sacrifice. Every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Notice that it didn't say everybody's going to get salt. Everyone's going to get fire, but not everyone gets salt. Only the sacrifice receives salt. What does that mean? That means that when you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, the old man was sacrificed and the new man is born again, created according to the newness of God. So you are now a sacrifice before God. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, that I have been crucified with Christ. I am now a sacrifice with Christ. And as that sacrifice, not only do I have fire applied to my life, but now all of a sudden I've got salt applied to my life. Now, what does salt do? Well, let's think of it this way. If you had a bowl of chicken noodle soup, bland as can be. Yeah, you've got noodles in there cooked to perfection. You've got carrots cut up and they've been stewing in the chicken broth and you know, you got all this stuff. You even added some dill spice in there. And if you left it like that, it could be bland as bland can be. But the moment you take out a little pinch of salt and you start to sprinkle it over the top of that bowl of chicken noodle soup and then you start to stir it in, what happens? Now the salt is a changing agent in that soup. It starts to attach itself. It starts to combine with the flavors that are in there, and all of a sudden, bam, you've kicked it up a notch. Right? Some of you guys watch that Emerald guy. He's cool. But what happened? All you did was you took a little pinch of salt and put it in there, and it changed everything. It changed the flavor. It changed the taste. It changed the composition. It got in there, and it made a difference. Listen, even though everybody goes through fire, every sacrifice receives salt. You have salt applied to your life when you offer yourself before God, and it makes a difference. It changes the flavor. It changes the taste. It is a changing agent in your life. It makes a difference when you have salt. That's why Jesus said, have salt in yourselves, because he knew that it would make a difference in your life. What else does salt do? Salt is a preserver. They used to take salt and rub it on the meats when they were taking a journey or taking a trip, or if they wanted to preserve that meat for a period of time so that it wouldn't putrefy. What is that? It means go bad. Okay? Rocked. They would apply that salt and rub it to it because they didn't have refrigeration back in the day. So they would rub salt all over it, and that salt would keep it in a constant state. Listen, God wants to apply salt to your life to keep you preserved, to keep you in a state, to keep you in a place with him. But you've got to offer your life as a sacrifice before God. Romans chapter 12. Turn there with me. Keep your finger in Mark chapter 9. Very familiar verse in Romans chapter 12. We're going to take a look at verse number 1. And let's take a look at it with new eyes today. Romans chapter 12. Verse number 1. Anybody getting anything yet? Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this. Says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, I want you to notice that there's a couple of words at the end of the verse that says, this is your reasonable service. That means that this isn't something that's out of the ordinary. It's not out of the question. God is not being unreasonable when he asked you to do this. This is your reasonable service. As a Christian, this is something that you should be doing anyways. Are you listening? And yet at the beginning of the verse, back up to the beginning of the verse, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do this. What does that mean? It means, I beg of you to do this. The Spirit of God is coming into our lives and speaking to us today. I am begging you to present yourself a living sacrifice. Why would God beg us to do something that is our reasonable service unless we weren't doing it? Hello? Each and every day, we have an opportunity, and I do this every day personally, because I know that I've gotten off of the will of God, I've gotten out of the will of God, and I have to do this every morning. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. It doesn't matter what happened last night, doesn't matter what happened yesterday. You could have screwed up, messed up, fooled up, whatever it is. And yet, if you repent and you cut off the offense and you come back to God and present yourself to him, there's new mercies for you today. And so you present yourself a living sacrifice. That means you do it willfully. It's your reasonable service. This is what you should be doing anyways. And the Bible says that every sacrifice will be salted. Come on, somebody. Think about that for a second. Every sacrifice receives salt. So if we're going to stay salty, if we're going to have this agent of change in our life, if we're going to have a tasteful life, a seasoned life, then number one, we've got to cut off the offense. Number two, we've got to present ourselves to God. And the final thing is that we've got to stay there. We've got to stay there. What does that mean? We just read it. Present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Well, listen, think about it this way. If you took an animal, slaughtered it, it's dead, and now you throw it up on the altar and you light a fire underneath it, is it going to get up and walk away? Why? Because it's dead, right? Not going to get up and walk away. You killed it. It's dead. But the Bible didn't say offer to God a dead sacrifice, did it? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It said offer yourselves a what? Living sacrifice. That means you willfully crawl up on that altar and lay your life down. The problem is that we'll do that willingly. We get up on the altar, we lay ourselves down, and all of a sudden God starts to light the fire underneath us, and we want to get up off the altar. God, I'm not, can't handle the heat. I'm staying off the altar. Forget the kitchen. Well, what does that mean? That means that we are to willingly present ourselves to God with full knowledge that there's going to be fire and heat applied to our lives. Everyone will be seasoned with fire, and yet not everyone is seasoned with salt. Why? Because every sacrifice is seasoned with salt. When you offer yourself on the altar and you allow that fire, that pressure, that problem, that trial into your life without running from it, but you face it, God adds the salt to your life and it makes a difference. It makes a change in your life. That's why Jesus said, I want you to take up your cross daily and follow me. Stay in that spot, church. Stay in there with Jesus. Listen, it wasn't about just walking across the city with a cross on your back. If that's all it was, everybody would be doing it. The problem was that the disciples knew when Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me, they knew that at the end of that walk across the city, there was going to be a laying down of their life, a crucifixion. They were going to be pierced. They were going to be nailed to that cross and lifted up, and they were going to die. Walking into the city, whenever they would walk into the city, outside the city, there were crosses. The Roman Empire had come in, and that was their way of enforcing capital punishment on people. That was their way of death sentence at that time. And so walking into the city, they knew what that statement meant. Walking out of the city, they saw that statement. Very real, right in front of their eyes. And yet, as a church today, I think we've forgotten about sacrifice. I think that we've forgotten about what the cost is in following Jesus. And we run from the problems, we run from the trials, we run from the pressures, because we've been told that we, as Christians, shouldn't have any problems. Listen, everyone gets seasoned with fire. In the church, out of the church, there's problems, there's trials, there's pressures. People mess up, people turn their back. Things don't go the way that you wanted them to go. There's not enough money, there's not enough wisdom, there's not enough resource, there's not enough time. Problems come. But the difference is, when you present yourself to God, you cut off the offense, present yourself to God, and then you stay in that spot, every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. God pours into your life something that makes a difference, something that makes a change, something that preserves you in that spot so that when the fire comes, it doesn't matter. Now you've been salted. Hallelujah. You see, we have the option to be what God says that we are and to impart our influence on the world around us. Take a look at verse number 50 of Mark chapter 9 again. Look at this. Verse number 50, Mark chapter 9. Jesus makes the statement, salt is good. Salt is good. You want good things in your life, don't you? That was a little weak yes. Come on now. Don't act like you're being selfish if you say yes. You're not. Do you want good things in your life? Yes, of course. Everybody wants good things in their life. I want good things in my life. Well, Jesus said salt is good. How do you get salt? Every sacrifice is salted. Stay in that spot. You're going to get salt in your life, and salt is good. Look at what the rest of the verse says. But if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Or in other words, if the salt doesn't do anything on the food, what good is it? If you had that bowl of chicken noodle soup and you had tasteless salt and you threw it in there, all you did was added mass to the bowl. You didn't do anything. And you'll still have that bland bowl of chicken soup. But if the salt has flavor, bam. So he says, if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Or how will you use it? Or what difference does it make in the world around it? But he says this, have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. So he says, cut off the offense, present yourself to God, and stay in that spot, and you will have salt in yourself because every sacrifice will be seasoned. If we lose that influence, if we lose our saltiness, if we lose the taste and the preservation power on the inside of us, then we're going to be overrun by men. It's the way it works out. My wife, Pastor Jessica, she's sitting over here on the front row. Wave at everybody, Jess. Hi. Pastor Jess, she's just amazing. She is just such an encouragement in my life, and she is a better preacher than me. Yes, I'll admit it. And she's just an amazing person. Her passion, her heart, her excitement comes from the house of God. She has poured herself into this church her entire life. She's been here since day one, and she has been a blessing to this church. First of this year, she answered the call of God to go and to take her calling as a mother to our three children and stay at home and not work at the church anymore on the payroll. However, the problem is I can't keep her away from the place. You know, she's still here, still pouring in, still doing women's ministry, still here all the time. They're having meetings at the house, you know, letting the kids run around and jump on the couches and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, but they're getting stuff done. And she's still involved and still a vital part of this ministry. Well, my wife had to go to a doctor's appointment. And so she went out to this doctor's appointment. And I didn't ask her if I could tell this story, but I'm going to tell on you, girl. And so anyways, she's at this doctor's appointment. And while she's sitting there in the doctor's office, you know, she was waiting in the waiting room, and there was a little girl and her mom sitting off to the side. And there they were across the waiting reception area, and she could tell that this little girl was in pain. She was, you know, physically disturbed, and you know, she could just tell. She knew that this little girl was having a real problem. And so God speaks to her sitting in the waiting room and says, I want you to go pray for her healing. And she kind of goes, okay, wow, was that me? Was that, what, you know, what am I going to do with that? We're sitting here in the doctor's office, and they might think that that's a little bit weird, and I don't know if I want to go over there and pray for her healing. So the Spirit of God speaks to her again. I want you to go pray for her healing. So she says, okay, She starts to battle a little bit. What if I start praying and they call me in? Or they call the little girl in, you know? What if I'm like, you know, oh, Father and Jesus, and they're like, Andrea? And all I get out is, amen, you know? And as she's sitting there, she's just waiting, you know? And she feels in the spirit that God is not going to ask her again. And so she stands up, she walks across that waiting room, she walks up to the mom, she says, ma'am, I would like to pray for your daughter. I can tell that she needs healing in her body, and I'd just like to pray a prayer for her to receive her healing. Is that okay? Would you allow me to do that? And the mother, just so grateful, so welcoming, yes, please come pray for my daughter. She laid hands on that little girl. And I tell you what, the reason why I told you she's a better preacher than I am is because I know that girl got Pentecostal there in that waiting room. Jesus' name, you know, by his stripes, you were healed. She said after she prayed the prayer of faith over this little girl, and she looked up and the mom had tears streaming down her face, just so grateful. Listen, stay in that place with God of being salty. You carry about in your body the influence of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that you are earthen vessels carrying about in your body the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because there is power in our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, listen. Last verse for today, Matthew chapter 5. Let's take a look at it. Matthew chapter 5. Go there quickly. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 13, Jesus is speaking. Look at what he says. He says, you are the salt of the earth. What does that mean? You're the flavor. You are what kicks it up a notch. Bam! You're the preserver of the earth. You make a difference. When you get on the scene, it brings change. You have influence. Your life matters. You make a difference. But look at what he says. But if the salt loses its flavor, if it's not doing what it's supposed to do, if it crawls up off the altar, how shall it be seasoned? That sounds familiar, doesn't it? What good is it anymore? Look what he says. It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Listen, you will be overrun by the world if you get up off the altar. If you get away from the things of God, run from the fire, run from the pressure, there will be no salt in your life. And then you're going to lose your flavor and you will be overrun by the world. Listen, church, cut off the offense. Stay in there with God. Do what you're supposed to do. Readily repent of those things that are an offense to the Spirit of God and go to him and say, God, take it away. Pluck it out. Cut it off. Take it away from me, God. Whatever it is, God, I want to go in your direction. I want to do the activities of God and I want to see things the way that you see them, Lord. Present yourself to God each and every day. Take up your cross and follow our Lord Jesus Christ. Get up on the altar willingly and allow the fires and the pressures and the trials of life, because our God is a consuming fire. He will take away everything that is impure on the inside of us and make us holy and acceptable before him by his mercy and by his grace. And finally, stay there. Stay salty, church. Be that influence in the world. You can change your neighborhood. You can change your family. You can change the business place. You can change the marketplace. You can change the school. You can change wherever it is that you go in every area. Why? Because you're salty. Everybody say these words with me. Say, I am the salt of the earth. My life makes a difference. I can bring change in the marketplace, in the school place, in the business place, in my family, in my relationships, in my finances, in the future. When I get on the scene, taste comes. Change comes. Preservation comes. Because of who God is in me. Now give the Lord a great big praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.